This is going to be episode 116, yeah? 116. Yeah. The McPherson tape.
McPherson.
Oh, hey, hello there.
Hello, McPherson. Oh, you've come with your UFO tapes again.
Oh, I see what they're saying now. Episode 116 of Hot Tape Summer Bat and Spider coming at you. This week on the show, as you remember, we pulled the audible. We watched the McPherson tape, 1989's shot to video. Shot to video movie where one Anna Ghoul Sherpa to all garbage. At least to me personally, a garbage Sherpa mentions, it's wild how much this predicts about the found footage subgenre some 15 years later.
Yeah.
This, that, and so much more on the grand finale episode of Hot Tape Summer. Is this it?
This is the last one. This is number four.
Oh, man, I just realized that. We got to... So what? We're back to picking movies again?
Either that or we just pick another SOV movie next week.
We just never stop. On.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just
I mean, I'm having a blast.
having a blast.
You know?
We're having a blast.
It's good to be back, Dale. I just realized I don't think I watched a darn thing to talk to you about, movie wise. But you know, I did want to bring. I mean, you might have some whole plan, but I'm gonna throw out something.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna throw a gauntlet. I'm gonna throw something out. If it works, it works. If not, you cut this out. You know. I meant to do this last week because the world. That foisted upon us from Universal Studios in Los Angeles, California, foisted upon us the trailer for Rob Zombie's The Munsters. And I thought we could talk about it.
Wow. Okay.
Because because it's the opposite of what we do. We never talk about new stuff.
That's true. We don't. With good reason, right?
Yeah. But it is fascinating, don't you think, this movie? I think it's fascinating.
I do. I think it's fascinating. I do as well. Can I rewatch it? Let's rewatch it.
Yeah. Do you want to rewatch it?
We're the monsters.
We're the monsters. Are you done?
Yeah.
Do you know who that witch is at the end? That's Elvira, no. Dale.
Really?
Yeah.
What YouTube video did you watch to know that that's Elvira?
Oh, I don't know.
Twenty like video.
Everyone on the internet says, "Oh, it's Elvira in the witch makeup." I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't have recognized her at all. Don't get mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's controversial to say the least. It's got a lot of people talking.
Sure does.
A lot of people are throwing ham and eggs and tomatoes at the screen, you know?
They can't stand the sight immediately.
They're so mad.
They're
mad at the cheapness. Now look, it's a trailer. It's not. Trailers come in all forms. Most trailers suck. It's rare that we get a trailer that's like a nice film, you know, that we're like, "Woo, wow, what a nicely cut, perfectly... made piece of art, you know, because it's like, you know, trailer, they're trying to please somebody, they're trying to please too many people, or they're trying to please not enough people, you know, it's always a mess. But I will say, yes, the movie looks cheap, but also the cheap part about the thing that really bugged me is the audio sounds so bad, and I don't know if that's just like they haven't touched up the audio or gotten the levels right yet, and like it wasn't done in time for the trailer. I'm guessing that's what it is, because there's something off with the mix of the audio. It's very weird.
Especially the beginning, the voiceover, from directed by Rob Zombie. It's just weird. And then it gets into, it's like, I know what you're talking about. And I don't need to comment any further because that's you're exactly right about it. I think, you know, I don't know what people want. What do people want? You know, they're quick to just like automatically say, well, this guy here, he has come to ruin something else that I loved in some capacity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's, I mean, it's the Munsters. It's not a gritty retelling. It's not, I don't know if people want like Rob Zombie to Devil's Rejects the Munsters. They want like all, do they want ultra violent goth Munsters? I mean, this is going to be,
I don't know,
this is going to be a new made for TV movie about the Munsters. It's going to be exactly, I don't think it's going to be too far off. I mean, to watch Lily in this trailer, this is how Lily acts in the show. With her facial expressions and stuff. Totally.
Kind of.
Totally.
I've been watching a lot of Munsters since this came out. FYI.
Okay.
And my love for the Munsters is blossoming even greater than it was before. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I think that's the thing. You put someone like Rob Zombie on a Munsters movie as opposed to like, you know, a director who's never, you know, a faceless director to most people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People, they hear the name Rob Zombie, they bring a lot to the table, you know. So you're right.
Right.
I don't know. Are they expecting a gritty thing? Or I think the thing is that it's not what anyone expected. It's not giving the Rob Zombie vibes, but it's also not giving the Munsters vibes very much. Like, I think people are mad because it doesn't feel like the Munsters as they would, you know, prefer it to be. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
It's like when comic nerds see like, you know, the wrong cape on Superman, you know, and they're like, yeah, it's not right. That's what I think is happening. I think they're like, ew, it's different than the Munsters I remember, you know?
I do. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. But also in their brains, it's like, it's the people younger than us don't know the Munsters. We know the Munsters from Nick at Night. We were privileged enough to watch the Munsters on Nick at Night or like during the summers before noon on some channel.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like that's the memory we have. We weren't tuning into the Munsters as it was live, you know, weekly on appointment television. Like, so people, you know, whatever. Like this is Rob Zombie's memory of the Munsters because he maybe watched some of it before it went off the air. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. When was he born? You know? I don't know. But yeah, all this is to say, Dale, I'm still, my heart's still open because I think Rob Zombie has about a 50-50 average for me. You know, the movies that he's made, I really like. And the stinkers are stinkers. What are you going to do? So I think it looks very cool. I love the way the colors, like I love how insane it looks. I think it's really cool.
Yes.
I think it also, right. I think it also like it's that it's obviously not shot on film, but it looks too much like digital video. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe that's another thing. Like they're going to put layers of, you know, grain or something on there to make it just feel a little more aged or like shot on film or something. Cause like, it just looks like straight from dad's, you know, digital camera or something, you know?
No. Yeah. You're right. It's like a Schumacher Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just way too something. Yeah. It's way too something. You gotta hold out hope and nobody's gonna like it. Everybody's gonna hate it. It's rated PG. It's coming to Netflix, straight to Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I'm excited to see
where we're at.
Like a Rob Zombie PG movie. I mean, that's never thought in a million years I'd see his take on like a family movie. So let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And I hope, you know, if anything, it gets more eyes on the Munsters.
Yeah. God, I love the Munsters, Dale.
Yeah.
I love them. Oh, and
I love them all.
You know who else is in this new one? Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster is in this.
Oh,
plays the robot. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because that poor guy has been riding.
Has he not had a good life, that guy?
I think he's just like, he's been Eddie Munster.
Yeah. He must have been on like Stern back in the day, right? I feel like he was like,
probably.
I don't know why I can imagine him being like a Stern regular. I don't know.
They probably roasted the F out of him if he was on Stern at some point.
So yeah, sorry, Dale, if that was painful. I just thought it might be an interesting thing to try and talk about it.
Yeah, maybe people be receptive to it.
I don't know.
You know, we did talk about a lot in our Discord. So join our Discord and join more chats like that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, before we move on, Chuck, please. The other day I watched a biopic in celebration of the life of Bob Einstein.
Oh, cool.
And Bob Einstein, to most folks, is Super Dave Osborne, also Marty Funkhauser on the Curb Your Enthusiasm television show. But this biography was hilarious, and it was great. A lot of people interviewed about the insane talent of this guy. But I went back since then, and Saturday night I had to work late. So I found on Internet Archive, Super Dave Osborne TV show that was originally came on Showtime in the Americas, but in like Canada, it was like on Canadian TV.
Was this the one that was on Saturday morning TV for us?
I think that's after this.
Oh, okay. All
right. I think, I don't know. I remember being on Showtime like late night.
Oh, okay.
But I remember it being funny, and I remember it being more of like a Daredevil show because so this character was created long before Super Dave Osborne show on a show called Bizarre, which I want to get a hold of.
Mm.
It's like another variety show, but Super Dave Osborne show is like 23 minutes long, and it has, like a variety act at the beginning, like a straight. Some of it's dry, super dry humor. Yeah. Like Super Dave is dry as hell. Like that's where his humor lies, is super dryness. And he's got this weird positivity towards the audience. He's trying to make the best product as possible for his viewing audience. But it's like, as soon as he thinks the cameras are cut, like, you know, he calls his like announcer guy Putz and Fat Face.
Nice.
But even still, he's super dry about it. And, but they have like he has like a legit, here's 10 minutes that you spend with the Smothers Brothers. Come on and sing and do some comedy. Like Katie, I'm through the first season and into two episodes of the second season, and K.D. Lang has been on there three times randomly. Whoa. Just singing songs. It's like she's just singing. You remember Jenny Jones, the talk show host?
Yes.
Jenny Jones is on there, and she, as a comedian, and she had won like Canadian Star shirts, but she is like, her hair is like met, like fluffed out, like 80s big time. Yeah. but then you get to, you know, the whole show is so you can get to the stunt that's going to go afoul.
Yes.
And every time, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know exactly how it's going to go wrong when he introduces you to the stunt.
Yeah.
But it still like makes you cry, laugh because it's so funny.
And it's always like an obvious dummy, right? Like it's always.
It's always a super obvious dummy. And then Super Dave is just like voice overing, like as the dummy's getting just mutilated. I am just having a great time going back and watching these for what they really are. Man. Cause just to soak in, you know, this weird variety act and to see like, you know, the Smothers Brothers, like Jerry Lee Lewis was on there a couple episodes ago, like to see these, you know, people who aren't around anymore, but they were icons for their, like probably in the late 80s when this was filmed, they were already like past their prime in some ways.
Yeah.
But I just had a great time, and I'm having a great time watching this Super Dave Osborne show. But his like super announcer, just the fiction behind the show, like he has the Super Dave Osborne compound and it's like, it's where his studio audience is, but he also has like these different portions of the compound where he has like school, like different random schools and hospitals. Like they're all part of his compound, all part of his like fantasy of Super Dave. It's amazing. And then his announcer, who is constant, is with him every episode. He introduces the stunt and stuff, but he refers to Super Dave as the Super One. It's just like the funniest thing, because in this guy's heart, he genuinely believes, like, he's uber positive and optimistic about Super Dave. Oh. He calls him the Super One. It's amazing. So, folks, get out there and watch some Super Dave Osborne.
So, where was this documentary?
The documentary was on HBO Max. It's called The Super Bob Einstein Show.
Awesome. I got to check that out. Isn't he related to Albert Brooks in some way as well?
They're brothers. They're legit brothers. And
I think I learned that.
Like there might have been some tension there at some point.
Oh, really?
So Albert Brooks, I changed his name, funnily enough, because, you know, his name is Albert Einstein. So he changed his name to Albert Brooks.
That never occurred to me. Oh my God. Okay, but, oh no, that wasn't animated. I'm just trying to see what Super Dave show I remembered.
Okay.
Because I remember it was on USA. I think it was like reruns.
Yes, I remember that too. And maybe it was, I do remember that. And maybe it was on.
Maybe it was just reruns of the Super Dave show that I was watching. Because there's like an animated show that they did in the 90s. There's The Bazaar, and then there's Super Dave from 1987. Mm-hmm. And then some other later things. But yeah, I remember at the time being like perplexed. Like I thought it was funny, but also I was like so confused why this was being shown to children, you know?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Even though I was a child, I was like, "What? Why is this on TV when I'm watching TV?" But right. And why am I watching it? And I'm still watching it.
Yeah, it's not going away. Yeah. It's not happening.
I think just because I, you know, the stunt always, you know, always wanted to watch that stunt. That's cool, Dale. Great pick. Dale's pick for the week, everybody. Dale's pick.
Yeah. check it out. And check out the Super Dave show and try to find that show. Bizarre was on for 6 years. But they go all into that into the Super Bob Einstein show, which is the movie. But yeah, so that's my reco for the week.
Cool. That's amazing. Should we get into the McPherson tape?
The McPherson tape, directed by Dean Ilotto and Joseph Tognetti, producer. Written, produced, directed by Dean. Chuck, what is the McPherson tape about?
McPherson tape released in 1980. Well, yeah, I guess released, air quotes, in 1989. This is a found footage movie purporting to show a home video from 1983 of the Van Hees family on the day of a 5-year-old little girl's birthday. And it's a family reunion of sorts. Three adult brothers are together with mom. And some a couple wives and girlfriends, I think. And they're at a remote house that they grew up in. And the tape shows them eventually seeing something in the sky. The three guys go out to investigate, and they witness what looks like a crashed UFO ship. Some little what did they call aliens in the 90s? The Grays? Was that what they're called? the classic 90s alien that's like the big head, big eyes. I think at one point the community called them Grays. The community, Dale. sorry. And they freak out. And it's basically, there's a great history behind how this movie got shown in various places and who watched it and who reacted to it and how many gosh darn people think it's real. And we're here today to talk about it. This is the McPherson tape. Dale, one thing, first question right off the bat, I may be showing my A here. Why is it called the McPherson tape? I couldn't figure it out.
I almost, I did a double take when you said it was the Van Hees family and not the McPherson family.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I remember when the credits came up, all the characters' names were Van Hees. Actually, they spelled them wrong half the time. It said Van Hesse sometimes and Van Hees sometimes. But I was like, that's definitely not McPherson. So I don't know. I don't know why they named it that. If anyone knows that question, put it in the Discord. But Dale, how did this hit you? I mean, first off, bless the gods, 66 minutes.
Oh, man.
God, I mean, just anytime we are privileged to watch a short movie,
right?
It's just the best thing.
Like, if we watched our movies every week, we could get this podcast runtime down to 45 minutes. Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine the productivity through the roof?
Oh man. People just, you know, thanking us like, oh, hey, Chuck, hey, Dale, appreciate the short yeah. show. I mean, I could get a lot done. I only got a commute and sometimes it takes over the two, but that's it. 45 minutes. That's my kind of podcast, guys.
I don't have to sit in the driveway when I get home to finish it.
Right. Boy, so yeah, this movie.
It's an odd one. It's weird saying it's a movie because it's really not.
Yes, right.
And there's the whole found footage thing, which I completely forgot to. We should tackle that too. Go ahead.
It's found footage when the UFO program by the US government is basically unsealed and footage is released under the Information Security Act, like it was made public, right?
Yeah.
There's really two things that hit me with this movie. And then we can hang up. We can be done. But the first thing is, yes, there was a problem with it last week as well, but and when you're making a found footage movie, you got to make it sound natural, right? But there is a problem with people just talking just to talk, like improvising everything in the movie was taxing. And
yeah.
But I get it. You can't. The more you script, the more it's not going to seem like it's a found footage, off the cuff kind of movie. But the second thing I have to say is, I mean, like, I know in my small corner of the world, I haven't seen a whole lot, but like Blair Witch, eat your heart out, because this happened 15 years before Blair Witch. And I thought Blair Witch like was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But yeah. This does exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I buy into it. I can buy into it.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, the thing that really trumps Blair Witch is also like, it didn't become like a huge hit, you know, it made millions of dollars. It stayed like an underground failure. So it helped, you know, I imagine encountering this in the actual 80s, like someone sending you the tape mail would have been, you know, and they, you know, and the ones that did get out there, the guy who like put it into the UFO community apparently edited the credits off the end. So like you were just getting,
oh yes,
the straight okay. serious, this is real tape. So
I say 15 years, 10 years, less than 10 years since Blair Witch came out. This was 89. I was thinking it was like 83.
But. Yeah, I know. I keep getting confused. It's later than I thought it was. But yeah, first off, yeah, lots of caveats with like the improv aspect of the actors and stuff, but it is legit so well done that I can understand people who are inclined to believe mm-hmm. that this is real are like, yeah, this looks real. I mean, other than when the kids show up in alien costumes, it's pretty obvious, but...
But, hopefully the person who edited off the credits edited off that part too.
Yeah, I know.
To the community.
But it's super convincing. Like,
yeah,
all the family stuff, because they it's not like you're sitting down to watch a movie about aliens. It's like, no, we're at a boring ass family little girl's birthday party. We're watching three adult men bully each other, you know, like they're brothers in real life. They're talking about mom's drinking problem behind her back.
You notice mom's been drinking?
Shit, no shit.
Yeah. drinking?
What are we gonna...
I mean, is there any left for the...
You guys don't know. You don't live there. She's been drinking a lot.
Mikey, I try to tell her, you know? What am I gonna do? You know, when I'm there, she doesn't drink. She knows she's not gonna drink when I'm there. But I can't...
Yeah, well, she does it when I do it. She comes home, she takes a little bottle or whatever she's got.
That rum.
She goes in the back there and drinks.
Water in it before I leave.
She watches Johnny Carson.
And, you know, it's very well done. And by, you know, I watched some extra this DVD. Mm-hmm. And they shot it in one take. They shot it in one night, one take. So they just ran through it. I think there's like two edits that they like cut some stuff out, but they never like stopped. They were just like, we're just doing the whole thing.
That's fucking fantastic. Because I was looking.
Yeah.
I was like, when, and that adds more to the improvisational thing, but when does the stop, like when does the filming stop? And it, there's, in 60 minutes, there's only like two that, and you said there's only two, but I was like, this recording just keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah. He said the director is the guy, Michael, who's the guy holding the camera the whole time.
Okay.
And he said he had on like a headset on. So like he would pull his head away from the camera to like, be like, okay guys, cue aliens outside or whatever, you know?
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's amazing.
You know, he's like, he has to be, you know, he's acting as one of the brothers, but he's also like directing the crew and making sure everyone's in their places, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a lot of the and it's messy. I think a lot of that adds to it just feeling more like, you know, and I think there's parts like someone saying the wrong name of one of the brothers. Oh, I think the director, I think he calls one of his fake brothers, Mark, which is his real brother's name in real life.
I noticed that. I was like, they just call him the wrong name.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was so cool how, I mean, and wow, I can't believe they did it all in one night. That's amazing.
I know.
I mean, that's amazing. But like one thing I noticed that just like put me into the fact that it's a 5-year-old's birthday party. It's like the most random, you know, occurrence as to why this family is together. But they all had they were eating on paper plates, but under the paper plates were these woven paper plate.
This is why
holders.
I love you, Dale.
I was like, oh my God.
It's
we had these.
Yeah. It fired something in my memory. I don't know who I knew that had, maybe my grandma had or whatever, but yeah. The wicker woven things that are specifically, so you put paper plates on them to like make them look nicer. Oh my God. I was
like, this
blown
is,
away.
Oh my God. Yeah. And they're just eating their dinner, their birthday cake and stuff off of them. I was like, oh my God, this is just making, this makes me feel like it's this mother's house.
Yeah. And it's like, because it's of the time, they're not like trying to, you know, it's not like they shot this in like 2002 and trying to make it look 80s. It just feels of the time.
Right.
Like,
right. So naturally they would have these things in their, in their kitchen. But the way they talk about, a lot of other subjects, while focusing, you know, while trying to either focus their energies on maybe what they saw or did not see and trying to fill the time. And the thing I keep going back to is, you know, they just start talking about other things to bring some levity into the house because there's a kid there. And that's huge for trying to keep the dynamic and the energy of the household like less than panic, because if a kid is there, they're going to pick up on it, and you don't want to screw a kid up. You know what I mean? So like, even amidst the chaos that they might possibly have like a dead alien in their bedroom.
Come on,
don't bring nothing in here. What are you doing?
Put her in the back room.
Why? Put
her in the back room.
Mom, bring everyone in the back room.
What are you doing?
Don't bring that in.
Oh, shit.
Jesus, don't bring it in.
They're joking around a little bit and eating birthday cake and stuff. It's wild. It's wild.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because you have kids and I'm like, that struck me a little. I was like trying to decide how I would react in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like, would I for the kid's sake, try and play a card game.
Yeah, right.
While there's aliens from another world possibly trying to get in the house, or would I be taking the, I would be more serious. I would be like trying to like be putting wood over the windows, like, you know, like Night of Living Dead style or something, you know. I was just, because they were like sitting by those windows at the table eating cake.
I know.
And I was like, guys, can we just at least get into like the middle of the house or something?
Maybe there's got to be like a bathroom.
Yeah.
You know.
Basement.
I keep going back and forth. Honestly, I keep going back and forth the same way, because you want to keep a kid chill and calm, but you got to, like, we're not talking about a bear. You know, like a rabid bear or something that could do damage and scare a kid and scare a whole family and threaten lives. Like, this is next level.
Yeah, I just kept waiting for an alien to crash through one of those windows and snatching the girl, you know, just pulling her out.
Especially when she
was the calmest one, by the way.
Yeah, she was the calmest one. Yeah. She takes the time to draw the face of an alien that...
That I forgot about that.
Where did you see this?
That bummed me out. I was like, no, this doesn't work, guys.
Yeah. She's like, oh, no, it's right through that window. I saw it.
I just saw him. While no one was looking, I drew this amazing picture of an alien that I just saw out the window. I was like, oh, man. I love that the overacting on the discovery. Like, fine. Where did you see? Where did this come from? Everyone just like... dive bombing to get in front of the camera. It was also like that when the boys first come back after seeing the ship.
What's going on?
There was something outside.
There's
a spaceship or something outside.
Oh, it's a spaceship. Oh, come on.
This is one of those jokes. Shut up!
Shut up! They just crash that house like maniacs.
It's one guy like yelling the whole thing.
He's like going into abusive mode with his wife. He's just like, "Shut up! Shut up!" And I was like, "Holy crap, dude! Chill out!" Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, they're just like, you got to act. I mean, the director is awful. He's like, you got to act like you just saw your death, you know.
But again,
death is coming.
Even the like those parts where I'm like, God, that's silly. That actor really like made a bold choice there. It's also like, but under these circumstances, you know, I don't know. I don't know how people would act. Right. It's also like super legit.
Yeah. So you're stuck with kind of what the only version that exists is what this McPherson tape is, and it's what's coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're saddled with. So you just got to go and like put yourself in their shoes the night of filming. And they, you know, like,
yeah,
especially when, you know, he's like immediately freaking out on his wife. Shut up. I told you.
It was too much.
But then come the end, when you see these pajamaed aliens in their fake gray masks, it's like, you know, was it all worth it in the end? Like, you guys are going to have some like weird silence before going to bed that night, you know?
Wow.
Well, not really, because who knows what happened.
I know. And I also like questioned the whole part where the one family was going to go home for the night, because they were like, well, I guess the alien invasion's over. Everything seems quiet. We're just going to go home now.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as they leave, we'll be back in the morning. Crazy.
Yeah, we'll be back in the morning to help fix the roof. We'll be
back in the morning,
It's like, oh, okay. Like, the mom couldn't wait to get him out of the house, I guess, so she could just start drinking. And that was another conversation that, you know, it was like, mom's drinking. What are we going to do about it?
I know. I was like equally impressed. I was like,
wow.
I was like, wow, that's a great thing to put in here to like really add authenticity. But also I was like, man, you guys are throwing mom under the bus. It's like, don't record yourselves talking about mom's drinking problem. I felt so bad for her.
Yeah, right. Because it's like, you know, this is a 5-year-old's birthday.
Yeah.
And you're recording it, presumably, you know, he's recording it to a VCR tape.
Yeah.
So they can watch it later.
Did you see the oldest brother? He was like, I think he was trying to like improv with the mom about like what's in her mug. Like, is that, what are you drinking?
Oh yeah.
And it kind of doesn't go anywhere. And I was like, what is he trying to
yeah.
do?
Like you're, she's like, it's just coffee right yeah. now or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, then it's just dropped completely. the thing that, you know, it really got to me was yeah. when they're running back from the spaceship to get in the house for like the next, I mean, say that's the first 15 minutes of the movie is when that happens.
Yeah, it was about that.
For the next 45 minutes, the director behind the camera is like inhaling like Fatty McGee on the Adam Sandler soundtrack. Like he just yeah. can't catch his breath for yeah. the next 45 minutes. And it's just like, I need, like, you need to do something else with your time.
Yeah, that's movie. The rough thing, because like he's the closest one to the mic all the time. So like anytime he's joining in on the acting improv troupe, it's like, okay. It's like, all right.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah,
we're getting there. A lot of your lines up front. Right. Like
we know you're there
because
yeah. we can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe, you know, and I know this probably isn't is this the first found footage?
I think so. I think people.
That's amazing.
You know, who knows for sure? I mean, it's funny. I watched a thing.
We could Google it, but we're not going
to. I watched a thing on the special features, and someone was like, "Oh, well, what about Cannibal Holocaust?" And I don't remember that, but I think there was just like that was an aspect to it that wasn't. It wasn't like you were watching footage they shot, right? I don't know.
Remember. Yeah, I don't know. Fuck that movie.
But yeah, I think right now it's kind of considered, yes, it's the first one.
That's amazing then, because
yeah,
that just adds a whole new dimension to storytelling, obviously. And you get these masterpieces like the Blair Witch that come out of it. You know, if the McPherson tape, like, it's cool that the McPherson tape had, I guess, you know, the underground marketing campaign that it did in some communities. There was obviously a push. Whereas the Blair Witch had, you know, it was manufactured, but it was brilliant for using the technology that it had at the time. And that's probably true of this McPherson tape, like tapes getting passed around and stuff like that amongst
believers. Do you want to know the story? Because it's very fascinating what happened with this movie.
Yeah, please.
So Dean Aliotti, he shoots this. He's a young guy. Fresh film school dropout, and he gets, I don't know. I think the producer's like, hey, I want to get into producing movies. $7,000. What can you make? He settles on, he just read this book Communion, which I actually do want to read. That's about alien abductions. You know, he's like a, you know, he's a believer in this stuff. Mm-hmm. So he was thinking, oh, well, what if I made Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but you took all the references from these people who purport to have been abducted by aliens and use that as my basis of how I would shoot this. And, you know, and then the found footage idea came to him and he did it. When it finished, he found that he went to Hollywood to sell it. Nobody wanted it. Everyone laughed in his face. I think he said someone from, one of the bigger video companies that we know, I think Vestron, the executive from Vestron was like, after they watched the movie, they're like, why are you wasting my time with this? Why are you wasting my time? Get out of my office. Something like that. But man. I think the last person he showed it to was like, okay, I'll, you know, whatever, I'll put this out for you. And 2 months go by and Dean Aliotta said, he's like, I haven't heard anything from the company. I should call him up, see what's going on. And so he calls up the guy. He's like, hey, you know, what's going on with the movie? You know, you know, how are the sales? And the guy's like, oh, funny thing about this. And he was expecting to be like, oh, the sales were terrible. They're not going to do it or whatever, you know, because nobody wants to watch it. The company's warehouse burnt down. So the master copy of the movie's gone.
Oh.
And Dean was like, well, I guess that's it. I mean, he still had his raw footage, which he ended up later. The version we're watching, he had to rebuild.
Holy shit.
But what happened is, even though the warehouse burnt down, they sent out copies to some video stores as promotional things to be like, hey, you know, order this movie when it comes out, just promo cassettes. And as the years went on, those start, some maniac, like I said, edited off the credits and start, you know, it started being traded among UFO maniacs. Apologies if you're a UFO maniac listening to this and right. you're mad at Sorry. Me saying that. But yeah, it started to be shown at like UFO conventions and stuff and making it on like Unsolved Mysteries and stuff. And like, like eventually people would like, they would track down Dean and they're like, do you realize that your movie is being watched by these people? And,
wow.
And they're like asking like, where, like somehow they found him and they're like, where did you get this tape? And he's like, well, it's fake. I shot it. And they're like, oh,
their whole world's yeah. crumble.
And it was like this whole thing. Like there was like an ex-general who used to work for the Air, who was in the Air Force for years, is out there saying this is 100% real. He's like, oh, I can see no, God. Like all these people are going to bat for this thing.
That's amazing. Without his knowledge, they're yeah. just, wow.
And even when it comes out, like there's like interviews with these people on like these old, this, I think it was Encounters on Fox. They have this general. And after they like, they find out that it was faked, he's like, well, I, you know, the, maybe some of it's fake, but some of it's real. I think some of it's definitely real. You know how the government likes to obscure things, you know?
Yeah. Right. Right.
It's amazing to watch. But yeah, then, yeah. And then eventually like he like, I think he did a new version of it in the late 90s or something. But
yeah,
so it did have a small life of actually like people like actually being fooled by it, which I think is fantastic.
That's even though, amazing.
You know, he probably would have preferred getting $1 million for, you know, sure. if it became a hit somehow in the video market. But yeah, it's fascinating that it was able to be this underground thing for a while.
quite the story.
Yeah.
Shout out to Foxtrot Bebop in our Discord who coordinated a watch-along, and that watch-along was pretty packed with people watching this movie for the show tonight. Amazing. So, yeah. So, thank you, Foxtrot, and thank you, everybody, who took part. I mean, just the watch-along art alone. Join our Discord and find out what it's all about. You get direct access to us. You know, we're not higher than everybody else. We don't shy away from speaking to the people in that Discord. Don't you worry. If you join that Discord, you have direct access to us.
You get
times.
To watch Kevin Koblasto bully us 24 hours a day. It's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah. We're not in charge in no. that Discord.
No. Dale, are you done with this McPherson tape? You want to talk about letters?
Yeah, let's talk about letters at. That's not the email address.
Paperkeg.gmail.
Letters at paperkeg.com. That's literally what I was going to say. Batandspiderpod@gmail.com is our email address. Email us. Call the official Bat and Spider hotline, 315-544-0966. Let me pull it up and see what we got.
Let's see what's going on here.
It's the least I could do for this show. Okay.
Yeah, ooh. I should say a lot of the information I want to say is on, I have the AGFA Bleeding Skull version of this, and it's got a footage of I think at Fantastic Fest in Austin, of them showing the movie and the director and the Bleeding Skull people talking, doing a Q&A with the audience before and after. And there's a lot, and they do this funny thing where they like, you think there's a UFO maniac in the audience who's getting like belligerent with the director and you're like you can feel like things getting tense. And then the director's like, all right, come up here. I'm going to prove to you, this is not, you know, this movie's not real. And it's the oldest brother in the movie. He's like, you know, he's like in
great.
His 70s now, but it's him. And yeah, that was a really cool thing. They like pranked the audience.
Oh, that's cool. Oh
yeah.
People get old, man. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
Okay. We got two emails this week, Chuck. First one by Foxtrot Bebop.
Hello.
Hey, Bat and Spider. #HaTapeSummer forever. Mm-hmm. Peace and love, Foxtrot. Thank you for the beautiful send-off. Hot aliens in your area is what is what the subject says. I apologize about that, for that. Yeah, thank you for the send-off, Foxtrot. What a month it's been.
Thanks, Foxtrot. And thank you for your contributions these last few weeks. Great
voicemails. 100%. Grade A voice and letter.
Yeah. And the correspondence. That art Foxtrot did. Blown away.
It's so kind.
I don't think you're on Instagram, but I want you to know I posted it on the Bat and Spider Instagram, Sunday, so everyone could see it. FYI.
Next up is an email from Hobo Salary. Wow. Ooh. Hobes. Wow. The McPherson tape. I watched it, didn't I? Dirk, it says Dirk voice. I think I did a poor job. Let me try it again. I got to recalibrate myself, okay?
Yep.
Flipping heck, it's a video nasty.
Calibration continues.
Uh-oh, video nasty. Bloody Nora, it's all right, proper video nasty.
Oh, I love that one so much. Oh.
Yeah, that one's good.
Bloody Nora.
The McPherson tape. I watched it, didn't I? I went too high on the watched it, right? I watched it, didn't I? Thank God this thing was just over an hour because it felt like three.
Ooh.
All I kept thinking was, why weren't there any other kids at this girl's party? And why was it at night? I mean, wasn't it 1:30 in the morning?
It was so dark. Yeah.
Instead, she had a guest list of aggressive uncles armed to the teeth with shotguns, sweaters, and farts. As far as the aliens go, there could have been a baker's dozen of them all with their dicks tied together right there in the living room, and we'd never have seen them. This movie was so dark. I guess that lends itself to the faux credibility of the whole thing, but it really doesn't do much to make the movie watchable. I wanted to end this with a recommend of some of my favorite shot on video stuff. In my late teens, I really got into a little production company called Donna Michelle, not porn, he goes out of his way to say.
Okay.
Their catalog of exclusively SOV movies with titles like Attack of the Killer Refrigerator, Cannibal Campout, and my personal favorite, The Woodchipper Massacre. Really fun stuff that I think would be worth your time. Wow. Writing these down, Hobo.
Yeah, I literally wrote Donna Michelle down. I wrote it down in front of me.
Donna Michelle.
Not the pornography.
Watch Donna Michelle. Next on the Donna Michelle Network. Cannibal Campout.
A refrigerator from outer space.
Hobo, thank you for the email. How kind.
Hobo, thank you for slaying McPherson tape.
Hobo, I just slashed my review, my two stars.
Maybe you're right.
It is now like, it's a shit movie.
We totally didn't talk about the psychic control part of the movie where people were drawn to opening the front door.
Oh, yeah.
Because the aliens are speaking English in their heads. Open the door.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Open the door. The aliens couldn't open the door?
I know. Yeah, right.
The locks.
They didn't know how 20th century doorknobs worked.
Totally foiled their plans for abduction. Right.
They could only invade the minds of others. They can't actually.
They're lazy. They can just get us to do the hard work.
I watched it, didn't I?
Didn't I? You all right?
Hey, you all right?
Watch out. It's a video nasty.
I love that one because it's a little like down tempo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
A little sad about it.
I know. Like this one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to pick a movie. I guess Hot Tape Summer is over. I guess.
I know. Well, whose turn is it to pick? Oh, it's your turn.
It's my turn after all that.
Yeah, gosh. I guess, it's big. You got a lot on your plate there, fella.
I I sure do.
I did not mean Ella? To say anything like that. Wow. Yeah, I'm interested to see what you pick. I guess we're going to need a palate cleanser from all that SOV. Or we could keep the train going. Whatever. You know, this is the Bad Spider. There are no rules.
I watched it. Didn't I? Chuck, it's a good thing. I've had a movie lined up for a month.
Oh.
And I'm ready to watch it.
Yes.
Okay. 1976. Directed by Ho Meng Hua.
Mm.
The Oily Maniac.
I'm in love with you, Dale.
A cripple takes revenge on criminals by using a magic spell that transforms him into an oily monster / superhero.
God, I mean, the work that phrase is doing, oily monster / superhero.
Uh-huh.
I mean, oily alone. Heavy lifting in my mind.
I can only imagine.
Good Lord. Looks like a rental, right? Unless you know otherwise.
Yes, that's
cool.
As far as I know, it's a rental. It's a Shaw's Brothers production.
Oh, the famous Shaw Brothers. This will be our first Shaw movie, right? I believe.
Yeah. So I'm excited to dig deeper into the Shaw Brothers.
What is this poster, Dale? Are there two people making love at the bottom?
Oh, at least two, right?
Wow. Yeah, at least. It's hard to tell. It's a cornucopia of body parts, flesh, and then the giant oily maniac looming above.
You know who's seen this already?
Who has seen this?
Bat and Spider's own Foxtrot Bebop.
Foxtrot.
On their letterboxed. Animosity in a B-movie container.
All right, I'm sold.
Would make for a Neatotronic pair with Night of the Bloody Apes.
Oh. Oh. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm now watch-listing Night of the Bloody Apes.
Yeah.
Which is already on your watch list.
Oh, yeah, it is on my watch list. Oh, yeah, the heart. Yeah, it transplants the heart of an ape into his ailing son. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's...
Bellissimo.
Bellissimo.
So that's it. In the meantime, join our Discord. Check out our website, batandspider.com. Check out our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/batandspider. We got another shot on video hot one coming through. If it's not out by the time you listen to this, it will be out.
Yeah.
Shortly. So join the Ko-fi train so you could be all ready to go for when it comes out. That's it. What? Chuck, anything else?
I don't know, man. I got nothing.
It's over. It's over.
I think it's over.
July's over.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of don't want this night to end because I got a stressful appointment tomorrow. Not an appointment. A stressful meeting tomorrow that I'm not looking, you know. I mean, I'm looking. It's a good thing, but it's also like my mind is buzzing and I can't relax. Doom and gloom all the time, you know.
Right.
You know what it's like to be alive.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's just say no more.
Yeah. But Dale, I'm glad to do Hot Tape. I'm glad Hot Tape Summer Part 2 is in the books, and I look forward to doing it again next summer.
Can't wait to figure out what we have to do to top this, because I don't know if it can be topped.
But I have a few ideas.
Okay. Wow.
That's called entertainment. Dale. It's called
I like your confidence tonight.
That's podcasting.
I like your confidence, Chuck. I do. I'll see you in
11 in hell,
and a half
Dale.
Months when we have to Okay.
Sorry.
That was way better.
I'll see. What were you gonna say?
I was going to say something like, I'll see you in 11 and a half months when it becomes our problem to decide what we got to do. But for real.
Yeah.
We're leaving. We're leaving.
Yeah. Now. See you guys. Bye.
Love you.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.
I hope you'll be very happy here.
Presenting rare and special programs.
Witches.
What you do with witches in these times?
No! No!
It sounds like a classic case of poltergeist activity.
Your room is ready and waiting at the Hammer House of Horror begins
this August, only on Bat and Spider.
Ouch.